on a pickle. All right.
Okay.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
And this is Daryl.
Back from the dead.
Well, I wouldn't say dead, but just Nashville.
Yes. Well, maybe it was then.
Hey, it's not Nebraska.
So, if all goes well, this episode will be released with either with only a week's delay or without a delay, and then we'll have a delay later. But we had 5 episodes that went out, I think, between the last time we were... I think we did actually record once since I started releasing episodes. Yeah. But yeah, it's been a rough month or so for our recording schedule.
It's a rough quarter for us all.
Yeah. It's been since November has been dicey for recording. But we're here. We're going to talk about Hedwig.
And the angry, 6 inches in, 5 inches back.
Yeah. So before we get into this, I have a story that I've been saving for a couple weeks because I wanted to tell this on the podcast because I had to tell it a couple times because Holden started selling it to people as this amazing story. It's not all that, but it's pretty
funny. She'd been watching Mad Men again.
No. So last year we got season passes to Six Flags. And we used them a couple times, and they were the kind that you buy them at the end of last season, and they're good all through this season. So opening weekend, the Saturday, Julie's foot's still messed up, so we decided we're going to take the kids, but she can't. She can't do it. So it was me and the kids. So it's opening weekend Saturday. The day before, on Friday, you guys were there.
We were there.
You were there, and the power went out.
Yep.
And I guess all the people who bought tickets got free passes to come back.
We sure did.
And it was a gorgeous day. Saturday was amazing. It was just a beautiful day. It was opening weekend. Also, tickets were $20.15.
Yep.
So there's a bunch of people with free tickets.
There was a bunch of people with free tickets. It was gorgeous. It was Easter weekend, so there were travelers in town. And if those travelers went... And if they came in from out of town and they plan on just going on Friday and then they got kicked out, they probably came back on Saturday because they're probably not going on Easter Sunday. The lines were stupid.
Really?
Oh, my God. It was ridiculous. We got there at just a few minutes after 1. Preferred parking was gone. We had to park in the lot behind the bus lot, which is off to the side. Yeah, it was bad. So we get in, and, you know, it's the first time we go this year. We decided, okay, we're going to get the dining passes also because we're planning on going a lot this summer. We're going to get the dining passes. We're going to get the big sports bottles for $20 that you can refill over and over again. Mm-hmm. We're just going to do it right.
Yeah, we bought one of those, and then I destroyed it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, you don't put those in the dishwasher. I've learned that trick from other ones that we've gotten.
Yep.
And, yeah, we brought that home, and I immediately said, do not put this through the dishwasher. Bad things happen when you put that cheap plastic through the dishwasher. So we get there, get in. There's a little bit of a line to get in, a little bit of a line to get our drinks. And the idea was it was a nice day, but we knew it was going to get cool. So we brought some sweatshirts and stuff. Because we had to park at the ass end of the parking lot, we brought them in with us. There's a little locker stand right at the front, so we're just going to rent a locker, do that. We go up to the lockers, cash only. I've got $11 in my pocket. And the cheapest one is $13.
$13?
For a locker.
For one day.
For one day. And it's in and out privileges. And this thing is super small. We couldn't even have used it. Because you can't fold up 3 sweatshirts and put them in there and jam it into one of these teeny tiny lockers. It's maybe good for like a purse and your cell phones. So, there's an ATM around the corner. Go around the corner. The ATM won't take my card. Okay. Well, there's an ATM back in the Britannia game section, which is the far corner of the park, which is on the way to where we have to go to buy the meal passes. So we get up to the line for the meal passes, go in, walk in, and the line's fairly short to get into the building, but once you're in the building, there's a line that wraps around the inside of the building if you haven't prepaid. Well, I tried to prepay that morning online, and it wouldn't. You click the button to get the passes, and there's no option to buy it once you click that button. So we're going to have to wait in line here. So the lady keeps trying to call people out of the line, say, come on, I will take you. Well, we haven't prepaid. Oh, well, I can't help you. You've said this a couple times now. So I said, hey.
I understand that you can't help us.
Hey, if I buy these on my phone, can I get out of this line and go in your line? Sure, I guess. So I start trying this, and all of a sudden, half the people in the building are focused on me. Is it going to work? I don't know.
Right now.
And these things are like $80 a piece, and I'm buying four of them. So I'm doing a $340 transaction in the middle of this room full of people staring at me. This is great. So I do this, and there's like
always the showman.
There's like a $10 surcharge. So I was like, all right, I'm done. I walk over. She starts checking it out. It's like, it works. All of a sudden, cell phones come out. People start, like, I had a line of people after me that were in line in front of me doing this. So we get through that. Fine. We've got our meal passes. That's great. So we stop at the little turkey leg booth and get a turkey leg and pretzel for the kids and sit them down. And I go get cash from the ATM, haul ass back up to the front of the park, put our stuff in, try to get it, put our money in, put our code in, go to the locker, punch it in. Doesn't work. So then I'd wait for somebody to come help us, get us a refund, get us a different locker. So finally we're doing it. It is now 3:30. We have yet to ride a ride.
Park closes at like 6.
Park closes at, was it?
I think on Friday it was 6.
6 or 7.
7.
That weekend,
it was 7,
right?
Yeah. Saturday was 7. So, all right, it's 3:30. We have yet to ride a ride. Okay, kids, you're got to be limited. What do you want to ride? Holden's like, I want to ride the Batman. Aaron's like, oh, hell no. So, all right, Holden, you go ride the Batman. We're going to go up to the front and buy some concessions. Buy some stuff. It was just before 3, I think, at this time. Maybe right around 3. Holden calls me. Where are you? The line's too long. I'm not riding this ride. Or at the shops in the front. So he meets us. Okay, so what do you guys want to ride? The Ninja. We just want to ride the Ninja. Okay, let's go get in line. So we get in line for the Ninja. And like most of the time you go there in the Ninja, like there's a serpentine line that you walk right past. There's nobody ever in line.
Right.
That serpentine was full. Full.
The Ninja's from like the 70s or something. It's like,
it's from the late 80s.
Yeah. It's been there every time.
Late
80s
or early 90s. Yeah. Somewhere around there. Because I actually remember when they put it in. Mm-hmm. But it turns out they're only running one car. Mm-hmm. Because wherever where we realized that after we left, that there's a big hole with a truck in front of the Panda Express, which is right next to the Ninja, which I never realized until we were sitting there for 2 hours waiting to ride a ride, 2.5 hours waiting to ride this ride, that, oh, they're clever. They put the Panda Express, they put the Ninja right behind the Panda Express. So, because you're smelling it for 2.5 hours. But there's a hole right in front of the Panda Express where they were drilling to get to wherever that underground fault was that caused the power outage. Which all the rides in that corner were only running one car and were running slow. So like all the lines, the Batman, the Ninja, all that stuff was super long lines.
So no love for the Screaming Eagle.
We didn't get back that far.
Wow.
So we start waiting in line. It's been like 45 minutes going on an hour. We're slowly working our way through the serpentine. And I start seeing these kids line jumping. Like they get to the end of the line and where the serpentine would cross, like where everybody's going this way to come back around, they just jump over right here. So they cut out that one whole leg. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's annoying. But I didn't think much of it. So there were people that were getting out of line. Like a lot of people were like, screw this. I am no longer waiting. And
right. They're
getting out of line. So we get about halfway through the serpentine. It's been about 45 minutes to an hour. These people in front of us decide they're done. They've had enough. And we're doing it just as we get to the closest end toward the place where you can jump out and not hassle anybody. So they're passing in front of the kids are in front of me. They're passing by the kids, past me. I'm holding the chain open so they can leave. And the kids are like, at this point, the line is advancing quickly because like 8 people have gotten out of line. So the kids are like 10 feet in front of me. All of a sudden, one of the line jumpers jumps in between me and the kids. Put the chain back. Excuse me, you need to leave now. You need to go back.
Yeah, line from the rear.
No.
Your face.
Why are you being petty about this? Because you jumped in front of me and Mike. Those are my children. So there's no doubt that you jumped in between us.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I'm wowed. Because we've been in line for like an hour. And we've got at least like another hour, hour and a half ahead of us. So this goes back and forth for a while.
Wait, how old were these?
It was 2 guys. And I'm not a good judge of age. But I would say he was probably somewhere between 18 and 25, somewhere
in
there.
So an age where I have absolutely no sympathy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like a 12-year-old. It'd be like, look, you little punk, move. Just stop it.
Right.
Just pick him up and throw him.
Exactly. So, but this is a grown person.
He's no better.
He's as tall as me, but he's just scrawny. He's not a very big guy. Mm-hmm. So he starts yelling and making a big fuss about it. I was like,
let him do that.
And I said, look, it's time for you to go. You want me to put you down? What? I said, go ahead. Hit me. Do it. And I'm like yelling, go ahead. Do it. There's all these witnesses. About this time, I glance over and there's people against the wall. Like 4 or 5 of them with their cell phones.
Oh, yes. Like we're prime YouTube material.
We've got an audience. Go ahead. Hit me. Go ahead and hit me right now. Do it. Please.
I need the money.
And so he didn't.
Of course he didn't.
So I said, all right, look, if you're not going to get out of line, I'm going to call security. I'm going to pick up my phone. I'm going to, well, you know their number. No, but I've got their website.
I have so much access to information. Like,
I don't even have to push buttons. Like, I can talk to it and make it do this. Like, what?
So I'm waiting, and I waited for probably 10 to 15 minutes going through the menus trying to get a human. Didn't get anybody. At one point, his buddy's like yelling, like, because his buddy didn't cross over with him. Now, keep in mind, where they were, where we were, he literally got like 4 or 5 spots ahead. Because there's really no, I mean, it was like 10 feet. He literally jumped like 4 or 5 spots ahead. And I was just asking him to go back to where he was. I wasn't saying get out of line. Just go back. So his buddy, who's like 4 or 5 spots behind him, is yelling, put him in the grave! Put him in the grave! And like everybody's still watching. So I stayed on the phone the whole time. At this point, Erin's freaking out. So she came back with me and I was holding on to her. And Holden's still up there going, like, what am I supposed to do? I said, you just stay there. You're fine. And then this guy leans over to him, like from like the line that was crossing us on toward the front of us. He leans over and starts talking to this kid. And it's this kid's this scrawny African-American guy. And this guy who's talking to him is not a huge guy, but he's kind of like built. He looks not built. He's stocky, mm-hmm. You know, he looks like an off-duty police officer. Which he is. I find that out later. So he leans over and I hear, security, you might want to go, police officer. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So all of a sudden, that kid just leaves. He gets out of line and gets out of there. It's like, all right. So I hung up the phone. At this point, I'm like, whatever. Because part of the conversation was, what are you going to do? Are you going to just stay on the phone this whole time? I was like, I've been in line for an hour. I got at least another hour. I've got nothing better to do.
Yeah, I have literally nothing else.
Literally nothing else going on right now. This is the only thing making this whole line wait exciting.
But even if you guys get to the front of the line, wouldn't you just have to say to the workers that you are eventually, inevitably going to meet?
Yeah.
You have all these witnesses. You have all these people around you. Everybody hates line jumpers.
Hey, this.
And nobody has any sympathy for, you know, that type of behavior.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know what his motivation to stay at that point was. So he leaves, and about 10 minutes later, we're still winding our way through the Serpentine, and we're facing the area with people walking in, and I see like security and uniformed police, and I don't know if they're just uniformed, security or what, but it's like there are Six Flags employees and uniform security or police. I couldn't tell from the distance I was at. And they're like milling around and they're talking to people and then they leave. Like, oh, that was interesting because I never got a hold of anybody. So we're going to the point you go up the stairs. As we go up the stairs, there are people running past us, line jumping, just running past us. Because the stairs are like 2 to 3 people wide, where most other places in there are a single person. Right. Nobody can get past these shoulders.
Right.
walking in a single line. You just can't. But there, it's like 2 people wide. So people are just darting up and down. It's like, forget it. I'm done. I've fought my fight. So we get up. We get off the ride. We rode a ride. It's like, it's 10 after 6. We rode a ride. We were there for 5 hours.
Wow.
So it's like, well, is there anything else you guys want to do while we're here before we head home? Aaron says, I want to ride the mine train. Okay, we'll go try. We haven't had much luck with lines, but we'll go try. So we go up, and as we walk up, we see that there's a line like at the edge of the building. It's like, oh, this isn't going to be good. We're not going to make it. There's a lady standing out front. She's like, oh, no, the wait's only 12 minutes. Because nobody was in there Serpentine at all. You literally walked in, went to the end, and were getting on cars. There were still people line jumping. They did nothing to stop it. Like, nothing. But there were also... So we ended up going the following week, and there was also, like, 4 times the amount of staff. And, like, an eighth of the number of people milling about the park. It was much less crowded, and there was a lot more staff. So... Kids are able to ride the ride. They get 2 rides in. Good. We're stepping off the ride, cutting across to the little cotton candy stand there. And this woman comes up and she's like, sir, I was in line at the Ninja. I saw what happened. I was the one that called security. I gave a statement. They were caught and escorted out of the park. Yes.
Thank you, ma'am.
Vindication.
She's the real MVP.
Yeah, no kidding. So.
So the moral of the story is don't go on opening day.
Well, we went on opening day. And it was fine.
Well, there were a lot of differences. It was a Friday. It wasn't nice. At least that morning.
That morning was cold.
It was kind of chilly, and there was like a hint of rain. Like,
oh, yeah.
But there were still people riding the waters.
Yeah.
Shit.
That baffled me.
Like, why are you on Thunder River? That water's like 33 degrees.
No.
That's where it would be normally if we're on a ramp.
Ugh.
I know, because I've done that.
Jesus.
We wore wetsuits. And it was still cold.
Yeah.
I saw people coming off that just soaked. I'm like, I don't understand this. I mean, that's a fun thing to do when it's 95 degrees out here just to cool off. But
you're right. You go on and then you come back and you sit there and just let the air dry.
Like, there were people screaming, oh, it's so cold. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, what you expected it to be. He did, like, bathtub.
Like, come on.
Best case scenario, they've magically warmed all that water, right? And it's, like, so warm. What's your, like...
It's still 50.
You're off the ride now.
Like, yeah.
Like, it's still and you're 50 soaking at best.
Wet. Yeah. That's... I did not understand seeing that happening. So, like, the next weekend, we decided, we don't have anything else going on. Julie's foot's been hurting, but now it's feeling better. And she'd also been sick. She had a respiratory thing, so she was sick. Now she's feeling better. Well, because earlier in the week she had been sick, we planned nothing for the weekend. Hey, we got nothing going on. It's late Friday night. Let's go to Six Flags tomorrow. We got nothing else to do. Okay. Well, we get up and tell the kids, and they're like, I don't know.
Soured from it
because they were like, yeah, I don't. It was rough last weekend. I don't want to wait in those lines. So like, we'll try. The nice thing with season passes is if we're miserable, we just go home. Right. We're out the cost of gas at that point.
Trip. Yep.
We
hit something else.
We pull into the parking lot and start looking around. It's like, oh my god, this parking lot's empty by comparison. It was a beautiful weekend. It was as nice, if not nicer. The second weekend, And there was like an eighth of the people in the park. We were able to, because with the season passes, you get free parking. So I paid the difference between preferred parking and parking is $5. It's 20 or 25. Mm-hmm. So I could pay $5 and get preferred parking. Mm-hmm. So I did that. Well, we wised up with the stuff we carried. So we didn't bring anything we needed to put in a locker. Mm-hmm. And we got the pictures they take at the front of the park. We bought the $2 downloads of the three pictures they took. We spent less than $12 the entire day. We were there from like 1 o'clock until 7:30 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Wrote a ton of stuff.
Yeah, see,
more fun when you don't have to sit there and kind of wait your life away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a completely different experience. So we'll be heading back to Six Flags. So
let us know when you're going to go. We got two passes free, cool. Right?
Yeah, we have two free passes.
Awesome.
Well, you know, we're trying to have one of their concert nights or something.
One of their Christian concerts, because that's most of what those are.
Well, they occasionally, I think they had Alice Cooper and Weird Al.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I remember last year Weird Al had a show there.
At Six Flags?
Yeah. That's just kind of his venues now.
Well, I mean, it's pretty cool. I can't believe we missed that.
It's not from the chair.
And I remember Alice Cooper has his horror show in the fall, The Brutal Planet.
I don't know.
You know. Watch for the shows. They have usually some interesting headliners come through.
I know they have a Christian concert series. We should go for that.
No. No. I'm all right.
No.
I got my quota for my life.
I think I can say I've successfully avoided going to any Christian concerts.
I'm thinking about it.
I mean, you've played that game driving across the country, right? Where you're like, is this a rock station or a Christian rock station now? Or you're like, okay, they're playing Flyleaf. Which way is this going?
Well, for us, it was the late '80s, so it was like, this is Stryper. Is this Christian rock or is this rock? Just waiting to see what the next song is.
Yeah.
XM Radio is your salvation. Is the one true.
Google Play is my
Google Play.
At this point,
Spotify.
Sirius Radio.
So that was the story that I've been saving.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
It was.
I like a good retribution story. Like good justice.
There was justice served.
Oh, I just hate that. Why do you have to be petty about it? That like fallacious like argument. That, like,
it's not petty. I've been standing here for 2 hours patiently.
And he knows that. He knows that you're not being petty.
Yeah.
But
he thought that he could be threatening and I would back down because my kids were there and I wouldn't do anything. It's like, look, I also realize how small these quarters are. I know that you might get a swing in, maybe, but it won't be a full swing because if you rear back, we're close enough that you're not going to, I mean, my shoulder can hit you before your fist will hit me. And I've got probably 2 to 2.5 times weight on you. So you might get a punch in on me, but then I'm just going to land on you.
Yes.
I mean,
body slam.
I've got mass. There's no denying
that. A lot of padding, too.
So it was
mass times velocity squared, right? Like,
once your head bounces off the concrete, there's not much you're going to be able to do. Yeah. But that's not what we're here to talk about tonight.
Yes.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch. So this was the first time I had seen it. And Daryl, I believe this was yours as well.
Yeah. I read all the kind of the preliminary history of this thing. So I was kind of going into it. Oh, it's going to be the update to Rocky Horror. I went in with big expectations. Mm.
So what did you think?
It was kind of a disappointment for me.
Mm. Well, this was the first time I had seen it. And I knew vague points of the story, but I didn't know how they related to the plot. Like, I knew that there was a botched surgery and he had a 1-inch penis.
That's
really all I knew. So I didn't know the context of him of that happening. I didn't know what it was about. So I went into this cold. probably as cold as you can get. I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. I liked the music. I liked the story was interesting, but the end was a little trippy. But yeah, I dug it. I want to see it again just to, because I know I missed stuff, especially at the end. Mm-hmm. There was a lot going on with the story. So what do you guys think of it?
I mean, I enjoy it. I've seen it several times by now, but I generally don't like musicals, and I think this one's the well put together, at least as far as the lyrics and songs and everything. So that's one of the reasons I enjoy it. Like, they're not just, you know, it's not like Frozen where the lyrics are really forced and stuff. It seems pretty natural to me. Also, I like punk rock music, so that helps. And transgendered people? I guess. I don't know.
Technically, he/she is not transgendered.
Well, kind
of. That was one of the things I wanted to talk with Adam
about. That was a little vague.
Yeah. Or I think we discussed it, and we said that we would come back to the point, but I don't know if I ever reached clarity after rewatching the movie.
Well,
it's an unsuccessful transgender.
But I should...
Right, because we asked if it was a gay movie.
Right.
A movie with a gay theme. Yeah. And it's like, yeah.
Right.
He is?
So did you catch that his boyfriend in there is a woman who's transgendered from woman to man?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, the guitar player?
Yeah.
Yitzhak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was pretty obvious to me. I mean, the features were too feminine to be a man, and the voice was a little over the top masculine. So it was like, I liked how they did that. I liked how they went with, they're both transgendered.
They cut out some scenes that makes it much clearer, though.
I guess I should. I've seen this movie several times, many times. It might be one of the movies I've seen the most in my life. But when I first watched it, I had no clue what it was about. But my first introduction to this movie was, I was in a Blockbuster video. And I saw the cover to it, and it's Hedwig's face with that, like, bright, glittery red lipstick. And I just had to watch it. Like, I didn't even, like, read it. Like, I just grabbed it and went. So I had no expectations. I had no clue what it was about. And that was... 'cause I'm from Maine, central Maine. Like, there's nothing around. So that was really, like, my first introduction into... I think part of our argument was, is this also a drag movie? So that would have been my first introduction into that sort of, like, lifestyle, like, world.
Culture.
From, you know, I was from central Maine. Like, that isn't there. Like, it isn't. Right.
Bill's face is not as above the surface anyway. Out in the open.
Well, it is quite possible that there is a community in places like Bangor, Maine, or Portland, Maine.
Well, yeah, that has a nightclub or club scene of some sort. Right. That would, yeah, you'd find the smaller venues kind of cater to this.
Right. But where I'm from, so I'm, yeah, I'm so from a town of like a 1,000 people.
So this was eye opening.
Well, yes and no, because I was also from a family who was more open, and you know, but. It was the first time it was just, like, out there. And, like, my first experience being, like, really interested in it. So I've loved the movie. Maybe that's because I didn't have, like... You know, you're talking about Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I had seen it, but I hadn't made a connection between the two before I watched it. So.
Right. Again, the thing is, I went in thinking, okay, this is going to be a real over-the-top comedy. That's a laugh, you know, like a laugh a minute.
No.
Because that's the way they bill it. But no, it's
not that.
It's not a deep haha comedy. It's a little more cerebral. It's a little more down. I can see why people gravitate to this movie because it speaks to them on their level. It's a whole, because there's one point where Hedwig is sitting back on the tires and everything and kind of reminiscing and said, "This is to all the misfits and losers and out there in the world that I dedicate all this stuff to." Because Hedwig is sort of the ultimate loser in everything. I mean, nothing has quite gone right for him, her, whatever. I mean, he thought he had a life to get out of East Germany, which turned to crap. And then he thought he had a second chance when he met up with Tommy, and that went sour. And now he's reduced to pretty much performing in all these coffee shops and
the Bilgewaters.
The Bilgewaters of the world. And it's been a hell of a shame.
I did like how it was in Kansas City, then it was in St. Louis. It was like, oh, that's pretty then great.
It's in, yeah. The bank were mean. Like, come on, this must be a hell of a chain. If he's got these tours, it must have been a heck of a promotion there. And it's like he's always on kind of the tag end of everything. Everybody else makes a success off of all his ideas. I mean, Tommy Glasnost takes all his songs and runs off and becomes a superstar. Lester finds a new lover and takes off and dumps Hedwig there. His band is running off in different directions too.
Even his mother.
Even his mother, yes.
Because directly afterwards, the wall comes down and she's free. Where, and you know, she didn't have to get a sex change operation or anything
right.
to get
right,
out.
Right, yes. So. He had just waited another year. Right. He could have just walked out.
Right.
So it's like I can see where this movie speaks to a lot to a specific demographic or age. Like you feel like everything in your life is crap, and you look like the it's opening and then suddenly it goes crap again. You didn't realize how good you had it.
Yeah,
I think what I liked about it was as a musical, it told the story through the songs.
Mm-hmm.
The songs were enjoyable. I can see myself enjoying the songs outside of the context of the story that they were using to sell, to tell the story.
I have them all on my Spotify.
The songs are catchy. They're enjoyable to listen to. They're well performed. They're well played, and they're not half-assed slapped together. They don't have, like, a lot of times you'll have. And you see this in musicals and sometimes in rock operas and things like that, where they use a thematic element of the song that kind of carries out through all the songs, kind of shortcut some of the songs because it's like you're playing the same chorus and chords and bass lines all the way through. So it's like it's not as interesting. The music's not as interesting because it's very similar. And this one, they did some different things stylistically with different styles of music. The lyrics were mostly very clever and interesting. I really liked all of those pieces of it, and I never felt like, with rare exception, that mostly being the end, all the songs were delivered in the context of performing a song. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't walking down the street. Break out into song,
right? And
for no reason at all.
They were putting on a show. They're getting putting into on a show. Fights, giving a guy a car wash.
Yeah, well, and I'm a big fan of the storytelling of telling a story within a story, and they use that really effectively to having Hedwig telling you a story and then just kind of bleeding into a performance that the song. Finished telling the story. Mm-hmm. So it very much kind of twisted that storytelling take that I enjoy and added rock music to it. And
well, the thing is though, I really like that. Sounds like a garage band. It's not over engineered like a huge production, like a Tommy Glasnost production. This is a 4-piece garage band in a cafe.
But they all still sound good though.
Yes.
Because I've heard really, really shitty garage bands.
Well, that's just these are all made up of former East Germans who are really musicians first. Right. They went to good schools to learn how to be musicians. They just didn't have any work.
Yeah. So they all aren't East Germans. Well, most of them are from the Soviet Union though, I think.
Well, right? Let's say former East Bloc. Let's put it this way. I know they're technically they're very competent musicians, but they play like they heard all these songs on the radio.
Yep.
And they try to do all their covers, and they sound good, but they just don't sound quite right. Well, they just don't have the production value.
I think they also wanted to make sure it sounded like a live performance.
That's
too,
just it. You know? And again, it sounds like a 4-piece band in a cafe.
Yeah.
But I completely agree with what you said, and I do, and I, the soundtrack to this movie has been a staple in my musical collection ever since the first time I saw this, especially, The Origin of Love, that song is just so incredibly...
I'm pretty sure it played at our wedding. Or no, that was the Book of Love.
Yeah, it's a completely... That's...
Sorry.
That's completely...
Origin of Love is different.
Completely different...
I got it.
...from a Peter Gabriel song.
Yep.
Well, they're also doing covers. Peter Gabriel, because that's one of Hedwig's... inspirations. Because he talks about, Lou Reed and David Bowie in such, these mystical terms.
Well, he was referring to those artists because they were androgynous.
That's right. Well, they spoke to him because he was kind of in their tune,
yep,
so to speak. But, he was listening to all this stuff over the Armed Forces radio. So he's getting this rather distorted view of American pop rock at the time.
Well, he was getting straight propaganda, right?
Well, of course.
So it's, yeah.
He's getting an interesting dose of it, but it's kind of colored his musical taste quite a bit. That now, one thing I notice is in the movie, they try to slay this as a glam rock. To me, though, glam rock kind of died out at the end of the 70s or so. So, Hedwig's about 20 years kind of behind the times there.
I think Hedwig is very much inspired by glam rock.
He's inspired by it, but the thing is, though, he's performing this supposedly in the 90s.
Well,
yeah.
So yeah. He's, again, about 20 years behind what's the actual musical taste at the time.
This was really set in the early 90s, though, wasn't it?
Right after the wall fell down. Or about the mid-90s.
Yeah, because early to mid-90s. I would say probably, I don't know, I'm not looking it up, but I would imagine 94, 95.
Yeah, I would say that makes sense to me.
Based on the story that they tell.
Right.
About the wall and everything.
I remember watching this on TV when I was a kid.
In the scene where he's left by, I don't even remember
his name. Luther.
Doesn't it say it's 89 and then they only describe maybe a couple years after that, where, yeah, so process of
the wall came
taking
down
these jobs and
yeah.
And being babysitter to Tommy and whatnot. So yeah.
Now,
mid to early 90s.
That scene with Tommy in the tub, now that really kind of freaky there. I mean, whoa. Your babysitter comes over there and strokes you off while you're in the tub.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget the placing of the infant.
Yeah, I know, on the floor.
On the floor, stepping over.
It's definitely not a comedy.
Let's say it's not a comedy in the term. It's like a Mel Brooks comedy. This is kind of a little more cerebral, because you would not think that would your quote-unquote babysitter would come in and perform that service for you.
But I admit, I was laughing through that scene.
Yes, I was kind of disturbed by it, but the comedic timing
in that scene was pretty fantastic.
Yes. I mean, it is pretty twisted.
The business card.
Yeah. Yes, then drops the business card down.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
That was a very twisted scene there. And of course, Hedwig goes back, picks up the babies, and goes on about his business. Again, Tommy again speaks to all these kids who are raised up in these rather strict households of the overly Christian, overly religious type. Because
also
he's
militant. Sitting,
yeah, mm-hmm. Because the first thing he asks Hedwig there is, "Have you known about Jesus Christ?" And I think what Hedwig's response was, "We had a brief passing or something."
He says something like, "Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And he says. That he's a big fan of his work.
I'm a big fan of his work.
Right.
Yeah.
The rather interesting noncommittal
answer
there. But, again, Tommy's still, he's still a kid. He still has no experience outside of his own head about anything. So he's sitting here talking to a transgender, and it's just like he does either doesn't realize it, or he's got these... I get the gist that he's somewhat gay to start with.
No, I mean, I don't think so.
Or is he just that naive?
He freaks out quite badly.
I don't think he freaks out because he finds out that Hedwig is anatomically a man. I think he freaks out because he wasn't expecting the angry inch. Like,
well, I think Tommy's upset with Tommy at some point. Says, "You love me from behind, but you can't love me from the front."
Right, love the front of me.
Yeah, I think it's that Tommy loves the person that Hedwig is,
mm-hmm.
and can't get past the fact that that means he might be gay, and I think that's the tripping point for Tommy. It's
he's gender confused
until I have to accept and see and experience that you have a penis. I can say that you're a woman. I can believe that you're a woman.
I can claim I didn't know.
And now I can't claim that anymore. Now I actually have to be confronted with
choosing.
Am I really gay? Am I bisexual? Am I this thing that I never should have been, never thought I should have been, wanted to be, was always told is a terrible, horrible, awful thing.
It's also very important to look at this through an early 90s lens.
Absolutely. Which,
because nowadays, like, if this was something that came out nowadays, I'd be like, dude, just get over it. But in early 90s, there was a lot of gay hate. I mean, there still is a lot of gay hate, but it was
completely different then. I mean,
you know, the Defense of Marriage Act was in 92 or 93 or something like that, right? So, like, that was some pretty serious stuff.
I graduated high school in 1989. So, the age of, I mean, Hedwig is just a couple years older than me. I think Sid was born at the late 60s.
So
I don't remember. He mentioned it, but it was late 60s.
Hedwig would have been 18 or 19 when he came over. So, and he came over in 88. So
yeah. So we're just a couple years older than me. So I mean, growing up at that time, you know, to call somebody gay was definitely a derogatory, slanderous thing. You know, it was something that was shameful, was not something you wanted to be. It was bad.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the added onus again of being from a religious family and from a military family.
Absolutely.
So,
oh, absolutely. You know,
there's all that.
I mean, I grew up on military bases also.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, so slightly before, well, just right after Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So.
Right.
This was before Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah,
Don't
wasn't Ask, that Don't late Tell 90s?
It was under administration, Clinton, yeah. Which would have been...
The 80s.
No,
Clinton was in 92.
Clinton didn't start until 92.
That's right.
Clinton didn't start until 92.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was under the Clinton administration. And at the time, this is interesting to me. At the time, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was considered a step forward.
Yeah, it was considered progressive.
It was considered progressive.
It was considered progressive to let them be in the military and be silent.
And you could be silent about it, and that was okay. And at the time, the people that were fighting Don't Ask, Don't Tell weren't fighting it because it wasn't far enough. It was because we don't want them in our military.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it was. So it's funny to me how all these years later when Don't Ask, Don't Tell is put away. We're not doing that anymore. This terrible, awful, horrible thing that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was. We're so glad that we're past it. It's like it was the stepping stone to far better acceptance.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell led to Don't Ask, Don't Care.
Yeah.
So does not matter.
Right. Right.
That's interesting. I never, because again, when I watched it, I was young. Maybe I was 15 or 16, but I also grew up in a family that was extremely open, and you know, my mom has always been really progressive. So I had always assumed that Tommy knew, but now that I'm thinking about it, yeah,
I think
because I wasn't Tommy thinking knew. About it within the lens of the time and all these other factors.
I think the plausible deniability scenario makes sense.
And I think deep down, Tommy knew, but was in denial.
Right.
And, you know, because it's Schrodinger's dick. if I don't unzip the pants, is it a penis or is it a vagina?
Yes, then the wave function collapses. Then it's known.
Yeah.
And the cat dies.
The pussy dies. Yes.
It's Schrodinger's dick.
I don't know.
I'm going to make t-shirts with that on it.
I'm gonna put this down in the business ventures.
Possible investigate Schrodinger's dick. Comes down, then it's the other.
What it
dies.
Is, what it, and the image on the shirt is someone who could be a drag queen, or it could be someone who's just very gaudily dressed.
Oh,
I really want to make it twisted. It's an anthropomorphic cat. Oh. There you go.
We could get Sharon or somebody to.
You heard it here first, folks. The birth of a new business idea. Watch for it.
So that Schrodinger's dick is now right underneath Butt Stuff Arcade in the business ventures.
Well, there you
posted,
go.
So. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. You should definitely not go into it with a... expecting a comedy, though. It's
no. I can see
what
I can...
It's a different type of comedy. It's not, again, one that's going to have you bent over in laughter, but it's going to want to make you think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this movie is... I'm this movie... I'm not this movie's demographic.
Oh, I so was.
I definitely am.
I like it. I mean, I don't know about demographics, but... I enjoyed the movie because I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed the story. It was a good, solid, well-told story. The characters were interesting and deep and honest.
If you'd have a good time at Pride Fest, I think you'd have a good time watching this movie. Maybe that should be your marker.
I don't think that...
Don't have to be kind of that divided. I mean, it depends. If you're into rock operas and offbeat stories, this movie will work for you. If you're going in like I was expecting, you know...
It's not Rocky Horror Picture.
No, it is not Rocky Horror Picture.
Well,
and
well there are...
And it is sold... This movie, if you look in some of the ads, is sold as the next Rocky Horror Picture Show. No, it's not.
I would definitely not call it that.
The thing is there is an element of transgenderism in the movies. There's singing in the movies.
There's visually and an iconic humor that's rather... You have to watch the movie to appreciate.
Yeah, but I think I think that's about as vague and tenuous as you could get to connect those two movies together. There's not a lot. Thematically, they're not the same. The style of music's not even the same.
No, it is not.
Because Rocky has such a
faster beat to it.
Well, it's more... Over the top, show tunesy kind of music.
Right.
Where Hedwig is more rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got some elements of punk. It's got some elements of 70s rock, but it's rock. There's a different
vibe of energy between the two movies.
There's definitely not a dance number.
No,
you know, there's no time warp.
No,
you're not going to see anything like that from this.
You're not going to have any. Like I say, you're not going to be whistling this in the dark somewhere when you're bored.
I think where you could make similarities between the two is kind of the following behind them.
Yes,
they both have a very strong following behind them, to the point that Hedwig is on Broadway and has very popular actors.
Yes, it's
vying
it's
for the role of Hedwig.
Well, yeah, it's
Neil Patrick
according
Harris,
to the Wikipedia. They're starting. It's 2014. It's now. It's now on a Broadway show.
It's been
on Broadway. No, it's not been on Broadway.
Was it off Broadway?
It was off Broadway in '98, and it's been. It keeps getting revived to different venues. Now it's made it all the way up to the big.
Well, right. It originally started as a live performance, and then it was made into a movie, and then it was remade into This movie.
Yeah, there was two movies. This is the second movie.
There was a lower budget version of this movie, and then the one we watched. And now it's been brought to Broadway, like you said, with some pretty high billing.
And I see where this works as this thing would work great as works great as a Broadway show. I'd probably enjoy it more on a stage show because of the whole different energy vibe. Would be there.
I'm almost leery of.
Well, I think there's audience participation.
Yes.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well, I think there probably was more when it was, originally performed.
Yeah.
Maybe less on Broadway. I can imagine that it's harder. They probably still, do the car wash gag on. I'm sure they.
It's a random guy.
They work that in there, but. I'm sure it's harder to do audience participation in that big of a venue.
This is a stage show would work great in a small venue theater rather than like the Madison Square Garden on a huge stage because that would be closer to its theme as a small personal show that Hedwig is performing.
Yeah. See, for my money, I'd almost rather see kind of an off-Broadway, local or touring production of it. I don't want to see, I don't know, this movie feels like it deserves garage level performances, not orchestra performances and big budgets. And
right.
It feels like it should be a little more intimate than that.
That's what I say. A smaller theater venue of maybe 200-300 people, which would put it into its context of what it is.
But by the same token, is as cool and as amazing as it is to have somebody like Neil Patrick Harris or Darren Criss play Hedwig, because it gets it such notoriety, I just don't feel like I want to see that show.
Right.
I don't think I would have been invested in it if it was like, oh, that's Doogie Howser up there doing that. You know, it's
or Dexter.
Yeah, or Dexter or yeah. Or Blaine from Glee, you know. I want that person who I don't know, who I believe is Hedwig, who I believe went through.
Which is the unfortunate, someone who is the unfortunate loser.
Right. And having a very popular, pretty person do that.
Too perfect.
As great as it is, because that will bring people who would have never seen it otherwise to the theater to see it. That's not what I want to see. But for that, we have the movie.
In the extras on the DVD, there's like a documentary that talks all about like the origins of it. And, they talk about like writing the music, like, John Cameron Mitchell, talks about like all this work he did and the original like productions and how they go through different Hedwigs and, the other movie. And I think it's really fascinating. You know, they show some clips from like the original live performances and stuff like that. So I'm not one usually for like extras, but that caught my attention. And
I thoroughly enjoyed the DVD extras on this one.
You're talking about there's only two like deleted scenes, I think.
So yeah, you mentioned that there were some deleted scenes.
For me, there's really only one deleted scene worth watching.
The one in Croatia, wherever it is.
Right, when they pick up Yitzhak. That scene. The other one is just an extension of the mall scene where they're trying to get in to see Tommy Gnosis.
And oh, okay.
It's whatever. And some other like minor little things. But the other one is the introduction of Yitzhak and how she meets her. They meet at like a beauty pageant or just a talent show or something like that.
This is when she's a woman still and she's singing.
Yeah.
Yitzhak. Yeah. And her and Hedwig sing on stage, and they like get stuck in a stairwell or something together.
Well, Yitzhak wins.
Yeah.
Mm. So Hedwig is leaving, and she's kind of like. But then Yitzhak follows her out.
I can't imagine that at all.
Right. She's having an attitude. I know that's. It's hard to believe. But she, Yitzhak runs out into the stairwell after her, and she's. Obviously in awe of Hedwig. I don't know what the history is between it, if she knew about Hedwig before, but
She gives her a flower.
It's, there's very little dialogue in that piece, but it ends up, Yitzhak picks up Hedwig's bags, and that's the first, like, first time you see, that sort of, like, interaction where Hedwig is, you know, this ego, and Yitzhak picks up her bags and, like, runs after her down the stairwell, even though Hedwig lost, you know? So, that was a good deleted scene.
Yeah. I find most deleted scenes aren't worth
what
was going on there. I think there are some exceptions to that, but yeah. But that sounds like it would have been interesting.
It would have explained a couple of things, because when Yitzhak is looking at the poster there for the tryouts for Rent, I was kind of like, okay, that was an interesting choice that she made for playing a character, because there's a scene in there where Hedwig's in the other room and she's sitting there trying on the wigs. I didn't attach that to the fact that she was a transgendered woman. Apparently she still has some feelings for when she was a woman that she
I don't think that's it. Is a transgendered woman. I feel like she was put in that role. Mm-hmm.
I think the trying on the wig, I don't think it had anything to do with gender identity. I think it had more to do with seeing how people react to Hedwig. I think it was fame envy.
Well, yeah, more fame envy.
The wig is the icon.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I think they even show it in the movie. Like, that's one of the pieces of merchandise that their groupies has. It's this big styrofoam blonde.
Yeah.
Headwig. Awful, like, right. Headpiece, you know, that big blonde, that is
the big hair,
right? That's
it's Superman's cape. It's the right. Icon that makes Hedwig.
Yes.
That gives her power.
The wig on the head makes Hedwig.
Yep.
So,
Alex,
mic drop, boom. Yeah. Alex is done.
Yeah.
I need you to calm down over there.
I'm sorry, we all just keep dancing around these two syllables.
Maybe that was the argument. Was our discussion whether this was drag or whether it was transgendered?
It's complicated.
Well, that's what it is.
I'm leaning more towards transgender.
Everybody's going to bring their own interpretation to this movie based on what they want it to be.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're a lost, let's say you're a gender confused teen, and you're looking at this movie, and you're going to either identify with Hedwig, or you're going to identify with Tommy, because they are the two archetypes that this movie speaks to.
Or you're going to identify with, and I can't even remember his name before he becomes Hedwig.
Hansel.
Are you going to identify with Hansel, who is very definitely just a gay man.
Right.
I don't think Hansel had any intention of being transgender. I think,
no, he did not. No. It was only
right.
You know, his Hansel only reason he did that was so he could get out of East Germany.
Yeah. Right. Because of his love for Luther.
Mm-hmm.
And Luther just fucking ganked him. I mean, that was awful.
Mm-hmm.
That as terrible as some of the other stuff that had happened to him, that was brutal. But I think that bit of the story where he turns it around and says, you know, I'm going to make the best of it and becomes Hedwig, not just the person Hedwig is, but the icon and the personality that Hedwig becomes. I think that's very empowering and very, very positive for as much of the shit that flows around him and the terrible things that happen to him, because shit and terrible things happen to people regardless of gender identity. If you're never gender confused, you can still have terrible bad things happen to you and people gank you and bad things happen in your life. But you can also rise above, and that's kind of what Hedwig did and try to.
Right. Well, at the very end, it all turned around.
Even though through the bulk of the story, it's just trying to get vengeance on Tommy. The reason that he's performing those songs is pretty petty. It really is.
Well, the thing is every time Hedwig gives a concert, it's all about Hedwig. It's not about, you know, I'm a musician. this is my work. It's like, okay, people, this is what Tommy, everybody and Tommy has done to me. It's like, I'm looking for validation here.
But it's also, yeah, that's what you're missing in that big show over there. Mm-hmm. But here's the real performance.
Yes.
It's all about, and that's why the way the tour was established, and they said it, it's, he's touring in venues in cities where Tommy's performing.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, right across the street.
Right.
There was one scene where he was in a bar across the street from Anheuser or Busch Stadium.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I love that. He kicks open the door.
Yeah. But, I mean, I wouldn't say it was petty because Tommy kind of fucked him over pretty good. Like,
kind
taking of all of his songs, like,
oh, yeah,
saying he has nothing to do with them, you know. And then Hedwig gets lucky by crashing that limousine in the end. And
yeah.
Well, I think it... We also should probably touch base on the arc of Hedwig kind of becoming that person who is screwing people over. Because he does this... or pretty similar things that were done to him, he's doing to Yitzhak.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So you're also, it's about Hedwig becoming crueler as the movie progresses.
Yep.
Until that final scene of Yitzhak where he rips up the passport, you know, and then everything is kind of falling apart. You know, his manager leaves, the band leaves.
Dick move.
It was very cruel, it's, you know, so it's kind of like becoming.
Well, just Hedwig saying, go, I don't need you anymore.
Well, you can't really just go, you know.
Well, like, and what, I mean, if you look at what Hedwig did, it was very similar to what Luther did to him.
He took this person,
changed their identity for your own purposes, and then you're tearing them
discarding them
when they decide they want more than you can give them.
Right.
And really, that's not what Hedwig even did. Hedwig never, in regards to Luther, Hedwig never wanted anything more than Luther.
Mm-hmm. And to get out of East Germany.
But that was just to be with Luther. If Luther would have stayed,
really.
if Luther would have been able to stay in East Germany, if he would have met a gay man in East Germany who wanted to stay East German, the story is completely different. At that point, it's just a love story between those two men. But because Luther was manipulative and an asshole and then...
A predator.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good word for it. Yeah,
opportunistic bastard.
Then there are other moments of cruelty for Hedwig, like the... famous laundromat scene. I don't remember which bandmate he's yelling at.
Don't put a bra in the dryer.
It warps.
And he just breaks down and starts weeping into the bra.
Well, that's the thing is, your emotions can get so wound up that, I mean, if you're in total enthrall to this quote unquote icon god, whatever, and it suddenly turns on you, and you're just, you can be emotionally destroyed because all of a sudden, all your admirations like turned to is now crushed. How can you do this to me? I've been through all this.
Yeah, but come on, you don't put bras in the dryer. I know this.
You know this, but let's face
it. I put bras in the dryer.
How many other guys do?
I put bras in the dryer. If it's in the laundry basket, it goes in the washer and then goes in the dryer. I mean, there's probably been improvements in bra technology.
But you know, that's the sort of stuff that goes on in bands that tour a lot.
Yeah,
you get so close to each other that you start treating them like your siblings and not like your
well, Hedwig has this buildup of ego. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's...
so you know they're lower.
Well, yes.
She's the alpha
wolf.
I think Hedwig also has a uses the ego as a defense mechanism.
Because, he does, to because, keep people away.
Because as Hansel, he was so trodden on, just beat down and made to feel like a very small person, which led to getting gender reassignment surgery for someone just so you could stay with them. Becoming something you're not just to stay with that person.
Yes, you know, he's completely making yourself totally submerging your ego and coming a total submission to the other.
Which is another, I mean, it's another good example of a group of people who could identify with Hedwig in people who are in abusive relationships. Who just completely transform themselves for this person that they idolize and adore, which is what he did for Luther.
It's like a survival story.
Yeah.
You know.
I do anything for you, just don't leave me. I'll be your total slave.
But it also, you know, it's like recuperating from that. It's like it's coming back from that. Yeah, that's another.
And as Hedwig, she uses the ego and the personality and the cruelty as a defense mechanism, mm-hmm. because she's not going to be put in that position again, because it happened with Luther, it happened with Tommy, and she just doesn't want it to happen again.
Right.
Yeah. If anybody's going to be victimized, it's going to be somebody else, not me. Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to hold the handle for now. I'm going to hold the handle now.
Exactly.
And of course, when they do that, all of it breaks down just like it did for all the others.
Yep.
Right.
I don't think I have a whole lot else to say.
I just love that movie so much.
It's a good movie. I'm glad I was able to see it. It's always kind of been on the list, but
also, isn't this kind of like supposed to be the 15th anniversary of this movie? I think I've heard
next something. Year will be, because I think I just saw that it was released in 2001.
Yeah, because there's been a lot of buzz in the media about this movie for some reason. I can't remember exactly what it was.
But it might not be the movie, but the
Broadway show.
The Broadway show. I saw advertising for it just the other day, because Darren Criss is playing Hedwig, and Darren Criss was one of the characters in Glee.
Oh, one other thing you might want to mention. Regardless of what you think of the movie, to have the director, the writer, and the actor do all three roles and pull it off is pretty amazing, because most actors cannot direct themselves, and they sure can't write worth beans in a lot of cases. So for them to handle all three hats is quite amazing.
And not just act, but there's singing too. I mean, it's not just straight acting, but there's the singing also.
Yeah, I'll give this guy a major chops that he could pull this off, all three hats, and John? Make it work.
Are you talking about John?
Yeah.
I don't think John actually sings.
No, really? He doesn't. They're voiced over.
Right? Oh, really?
They have another singer for it, but to make it sound convincing,
right?
Just not mere lip syncing,
right?
I did not know that's who Yitzhak was. Holy shit,
Miriam
Shore.
Yeah.
Wow. Because, like, I've seen her in a lot of different television shows.
Good makeup artist.
So, I didn't recognize her. Yeah, because she's on one of the shows that we just started watching not too long ago called Younger, which is pretty hilarious. It's about a 40-year-old woman who comes back into the the business world after getting out of a messy divorce and being kind of a stay-at-home for years, and she looks very young for her age, so she gets confused, and somebody confuses her for being 26 years old. So now she's pretending to be 26 years old as a 40-year-old, having to go and like pretend to that she knows what social media is and all this other stuff. It's pretty funny.
So, I didn't know this until I looked at Wikipedia. I don't know if it's true, because it's on Wikipedia. But the character of Hedwig was inspired by a real German divorced army wife who was a babysitter and moonlighted as a prostitute at her Junction City, Kansas trailer park home.
That's
on the nose, if it's true.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, but
sometimes you can't make this stuff up. The real life is just as weird.
That wouldn't be surprising. It wouldn't be surprising that that's true.
Well, they always say write what you know, so.
Man, she just pretty much should cut her a royalty check.
I also like
co-producer credit.
I also like that Hedwig
based on the life experiences of.
I also like that Hedwig goes through so many cities that I know.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I like that about watching it this time. I was like, oh, that's where I am now. Like,
oh, I've been in Bangor.
Is he in Bangor?
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Does he go to Bangor, Maine?
Bangor,
yeah.
Maine.
Yeah.
That's where one of the Bilgewaters were.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to recheck that because I feel like I would have, like, recognized that.
Now you're going to have to go home and watch it.
I guess another thing would be to find out where the restaurants they did really perform this in as sets.
Yeah, they didn't look like much.
You
looking it up?
Yeah.
What are we looking up? Oh, if it was Bangor. In Bangor? I feel like I would have been ecstatic. Like, this would have, like, absolutely been my favorite movie from then on because that's, like, my place. That was like... I remember Kansas City. I remember St. Louis. Then they do head over to New England, I think. I think they go to Chicago.
Isn't where the limo accident, is that New York?
I think so.
Manhattan.
It's been a couple weeks since I've seen the movie. Because I thought over the last like 3 weeks
we were going to talk about it. Did they drop him off at the corner somewhere? Right. Because like, they're driving the limo without a license. And drunk. Good combination. Drive a car 3 times longer than normal. And
I mean, he's a rock
without
star.
A driver's license.
That's what they do.
Is that so?
I'm pretty sure there's actually... Isn't there a song by Boston or Kansas about how they become a rock star and get a Maserati and then they lose it because they drove it too fast? And
My Ferrari does 195. I lost my license. Now I can't drive.
No, yeah. that's Hagar.
Yeah, it's Sammy Hagar, right?
That's Hagar?
That's yes. Hagar.
Okay.
Mitchell has explained that Hedwig is not meant to be transgendered. She's more than a woman or a man, if you recall the song. She's in gender of one, and that is accidentally so beautiful.
Accidentally. Slip in that.
Yeah, because I never got the sense until Hedwig, the personality, the ego came into play, that there was that Hedwig was female at all,
right?
Or wanted to be female. It wasn't a matter of changing gender because they felt like they were female, or
it was a necessity at that moment.
Right. Well, it was a means to an end.
She stole her mother's identity to get to the United States.
Right.
You know. So I don't know how. Yeah. Maybe she had to be committed to it. I don't know.
John Cameron Mitchell, for me, makes a pretty convincing woman. Maybe that's another thing. I just have a fascination with drag. Just like the transformation, you know, like they call it the female illusion. Like, maybe that's another reason why I was so engrossed with this movie.
You do like drag.
I do.
And see, now I'm after seeing that Yitzhak was Miriam Shore, I just keep thinking, like, I'm looking at that face and going, I can totally see it now. I just can't get, I'm just obsessing about it.
If you go back and you watch that deleted scene, because there's, I think in that deleted scene, you see more of her being a female than you even see at the end. Because I think even when... You know, Hedwig kind of allows her to, you know, I felt like Hedwig was allowing her to go back to being a woman.
Right.
You know, you don't see her that much. But if you watch that deleted scene, that's like the most you ever see of Yitzhak as a female.
Yeah.
See, as interesting as it would be to see that, I can see why it's not there, though. Because it would kind of break the illusion.
Right.
And the more I think about it, it's like, I don't know that I would have wanted to see that at any point early on in the movie.
I completely agreed with... I don't... Because I also watched it with the commentary on.
I have a long history of watching everything, including all the commentaries on Kevin Smith movies. So I am not going to shame you with obsessing over a DVD.
I don't remember the reason they give for deleting the scene, but I don't think it had to do with saying, "Well, we wanted to keep, you know, try to."
I thought it was
even
just
offhandedly.
Time.
Yeah, it was just something like, "Oh, we wanted to keep this in," but I liked that they took it out
and they cut. I think
I liked being able to see it afterwards.
I think that scene and the extended laundromat scene and the extended mall scene were all just cut for time. Like they wanted to.
Well,
put
if they were just cut for time, they wouldn't have been included in the deleted scenes.
I think they had like extra information in them, and they realized that it really wasn't
Add to the story.
Right, it was all kind of standalone bits. I mean, some of it was funny.
When I watched the movie originally, I knew that Yitzhak, there was something strange, but I was so concentrated on Hedwig as this personality and her story and her tragedy that when Yitzhak puts on the wig at the end, I was like flabbergasted. Like I had no clue. I remember there's one part where Yitzhak is singing where I was like, damn, that man has like a really high pitched voice. Like get it. Like hit that note. But before that, I was just so concentrated on everything else that that was like a really good moment.
No, I pretty much knew that Yitzhak was born a female from the beginning. Like I don't think I ever. I think it was one of those. Is that yeah? That's clever that the singer was, and this is before you know the story. Mm-hmm. So like the first time you actually see him is before you know the backstory or anything. It's like that's clever that the male to female transgender person who's singing has a female to male transition person as part of the band. That's clever. But that's, I mean, you know, at that point I'm still like trying to figure out what this movie's about.
I'll be honest, I just thought it was an effeminate man for the first time I watched it, most of the first time I watched it. But maybe effeminate men are more common in my, I guess, universe. I don't know.
There was an uncanny valley about the beard that was just the beard wasn't right.
It was painted on.
Yeah, it was. I could just looking at it. It's like there's something the beard's wrong. It's not either. That's and I wasn't sure. There was a moment there also. It's like, is this person transitioning? Is this a man that's transitioning? Or it's like. Then it was like, yeah, that's a woman. But
I guess we should touch base on the end, the very end. Like, how did you feel about the end? He's walking naked through an alley into the darkness.
I liked it.
That's kind of like the theme of the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just walking always into the unknown.
He's kind of stripped of this character. Yeah, this. Of Hedwig, you know.
Yeah, I felt. I mean, the sense I got from it was, you know, he was Hansel, and then he became Hedwig, and then he became Hedwig as a defense mechanism, as to
a rock star.
It was. I mean, and not even about that. It was about coping with all the loss. You know, he lost his family. He lost his country. He lost his gender. He lost his love.
He lost his identity.
He lost everything.
He lost his music.
He lost his music to Tommy. I mean, you know, even that one thing that he could use to identify himself with his music, it's gone to him. It's not his anymore, or hers at that point. And then it becomes I think the end was really accepting that he doesn't need her anymore. Mm-hmm. And that he can stand naked on the stage of life and let whatever hit him because Hedwig gave him the ability to be strong enough to handle it. That's kind of the sense I got out of it.
Well, I'm just stupid. I thought he was just walking down an alley naked.
No, it's very symbolic.
That piece, that ending performance... And the origin of love are my, like, top two favorite movie moment. Not top two, well, but they're like, they're the so powerful.
We're looking for it's the end of a performance.
Yes,
and now I've shed my performance. Here's the real me, finally moving into, granted, into the unknown, but walking out of this dark alley into hopefully into a better future.
The show is over. I've taken off my makeup. I've taken off my costume. I get to go be a person now.
Yeah. No more pretending.
Yeah.
A good closing song at that point would have been, "Can you see the real me?"
Where are you at, Kayla? You have like, this like dreamy long.
I just like the movie so much. I said, that the end performance was when I first watched it, was the last time I watched it, and every time I've ever, it's just such a strong like moment.
That's what's meant
to be. To be handing over. Confusion. The song is just great. I'm just geeking out over here.
That's fine. That's what the podcast is all about.
All right, let's go ahead and call it. Unless somebody has anything they really feel like they missed.
Can we announce what we're doing next?
Yeah, we're going to do the Kinetto trilogy. We're going to do all three at once. We're going to talk about Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and The World's End. But we're going to have a gap of a week recording, so we have
It'll
time.
It'll take us that long to watch all three of these.
I don't know how this will be released, if there will be a gap, and when this is released and then those get released back to back or what.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Have a good night.
Good night.
See you.